We're going to be back in 1 Corinthians this morning. But first, I want you to go to the book of Romans for just a minute. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Very familiar passage. In verse number 1, we read, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Of course, he's speaking to Christians. This is part of the process of sanctification and, of course, presenting ourselves as servants of God, as believers. The Old Testament animals were killed and sacrificed. We don't do that anymore in the New Testament, but God wants us. He wants our hearts. He wants our very beings. And it's not something that ought to be out of the ordinary, something that's far-fetched, because Paul goes on to say, holy or set apart, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, or some translations have it, rational service. Service is latruo, which can be translated worship. So it's the reasonable thing, it's expected of a believer who is a slave of Jesus Christ, that we would then present our bodies, Lord, use me as you see fit, I am yours. I abandon myself, my self-will, and I give myself over to you to use as you so desire. And then he goes from the body to the mind and the heart, be not conformed to this world. It's like being squeezed like Play-Doh in those old, I remember the girls having those Play-Doh machines. You put a heart shape in there and you put the Play-Doh in and you pull the handle and you squeeze it out and then you cut it off into heart shapes, that kind of thing. Well, that's what it's talking about here. We're not to be squeezed into the mold of this old age, this world, but instead to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And of course, the way to do that is to have our minds and hearts saturated by the Word of God, and to be under the control of the Spirit of God, that ye may prove or demonstrate what is that good, and this should all be together, good, acceptable, perfect will of God. But that's just the introduction to what I really want to say that goes along with the message out of 1 Corinthians. And that is in verse 3, which comes before Paul starts talking about the spiritual gifts. He said, all right, you presented yourself a living sacrifice. You are working hard at being conformed not to the world, but to the image of Jesus Christ. We are predestined, Paul writes earlier in Romans, to be conformed to his image. You're concerned about the will of God and about doing what God wants you to do and his purposes for your life. He said, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And that is, of course, what Paul is dealing with in 1 Corinthians. We are in the fourth chapter, where there were those in the church that were saying, well, I was baptized by Apollos, I was baptized by Paul, I was baptized by, you know, this one and that one, by Peter. And then they got to where their elevation of self continued to increase. Their pride was growing, their arrogance, they were puffed up. They thought of themselves, just as Paul warned to the Roman believers, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly, seriously about spiritual things and about our status, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. No doubt, some have more faith than others. He's not talking there about saving faith. He's talking about faith to live the Christian life. Some have more faith than others. And I think part of that is because, of course, there is a spiritual gift of faith. So some have a higher measure than others. Now turn back, actually ahead, but turn to 1 Corinthians 4. With that in mind, we started this thought on last Sunday. and didn't get to finish. I wish I could have finished because it all kind of fits together. Now I got to go back for it to make any sense. Several of you were not here last week. And so I'm going to go back without going over every detail, but I do want to tie it all together before we partake of the Lord's table. We looked at number one, the requirements of God's servants in verses 1 and 2. And Paul had a different view of himself, along with the other apostles, than many of these folk in the church were having. He said, you got yourselves all puffed up and elevated as though you're really important and you think you're really better than you ought to think. But let me tell you how we as apostles view ourselves. We don't view ourselves as kings. We don't view ourselves as rulers over the church. We don't view ourselves as highly important compared to you. As a matter of fact, we view ourselves, verse number one, as ministers or under rowers. The lowest of the slaves were the ones on the ship that were in the lower level that worked the oars. And there wasn't a single one of them better than the other. They all worked together, didn't they? They were rowing together. They all had to do their... You didn't have one rowing one direction and one rowing in the other. They all rowed together to keep that ship going straight. And Paul said, myself and Apollos and Cephas and all the other apostles, we are ministers and are under rowers. We are servants. We are slaves of Jesus Christ. And we row together. There's not one greater than the other. Remember when Paul used the analogy of the farmer. He said, you know, maybe I plant and Apollos waters, but it's God that gives the increase. We all have our part. We all have our ministries. And it's the same for everyone in the church. All true born-again believers are endowed by the Spirit of God at the moment of salvation with at least one spiritual gift. And when we get to the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, we're going to look at those again. Many of you were not here years ago when we went over the spiritual gifts in Sunday school. We're going to do that again. Maybe not to the detail, but we're going to talk about spiritual gifts because it's critical that we understand why God has given us a gift or gifts. And so we're going to look at that. But right now, Paul is saying, look, we are ministers. We are committed to serving our Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. Mysteries were something that were hidden and now are revealed. We talked about some of those, the mystery of the cross. Paul talked about that, expounded on that in Romans, the mystery of the church in the book of Ephesians. And in 1 Thessalonians, he talked about and expounded the mystery of Christ's coming. And so he said, we have been entrusted as stewards. We are managers of what God has given us, the full revealed truth of the Word of God. We are to be, and we want to be seen as humble messengers. And then he says in verse 2 that it's required in stewards to be faithful. This is critical for every believer. We are to be obediently loyal to the Master. This is essential to be faithful, to be committed to our Christ above all else, faithful to Him. He alone is worthy. And then he talked about how they were judging and they were comparing the apostles, and it just really bothered him. He said, you know what, when it comes, boils down to it, I really don't care much. He didn't say he didn't care at all. He said, I don't care much about what human opinion is of me. He said, as a matter of fact, when I examine myself, and he's talking here when it says judgment, he's talking about being examined. He said, I'll examine myself, and I have, and he said, as a matter of fact, I think everything's pretty well with my soul right now, but I really can't not put a whole lot of stock in that because the human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so he says, you know what? I might think of myself as right with God, but I may not know something that's deep within my heart, and so I am not acquitted by what I think about myself. And I'm certainly not acquitted or condemned by what you think of me, but the Lord will judge. And so he said, don't get in a hurry about judging. Be careful how you jump to conclusions and how we tend to be so hard on one another. We're quick to condemn someone else, and we kind of want everybody to overlook our faults and our sins. And